I'm Christine Dean. This is live from Studio A, and joining us today, all the way from Milwaukee, it is Peter Mulvey. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, happy to have you back with us. Now, you were here about a year and a half ago, I think, and we'll find out what you've been up to since then and hear some tunes. What do you want to start with?
Well, this is a tune called The Knuckleball Suite, and days like today, I really like the first line. It's a warm summer evening, I can just hear the knuckleball sweet. It's a warm summer evening, I can just hear the knuckleball sweet. I can hear the clover hum along, and the rain clouds are finding their feet. This town is a talisman, it's a vanishing breed. The town is a talisman, and we are a vanishing breed. Oh, but our song is a first chair viola lost in the weeds. Billy C is drinking Sandy Man poured down at the old cafe. Billy C is drinking Sandy Man poured down at the old cafe. While the little river goes by slow, the little river, it likes it that way. Sal is barefoot in the backyard calling out to that star above the pine. She is barefoot in the backyard, calling out to the star above the pine. For once the star answers, Sal, you are the wine, you are the wine, you are the wine. My brother Franklin is the ace, my brother Franklin is a wireless sport. He's the ace, he is a wireless sport. Going out to the old cafe to sit with Bill and drink the Sandy Man port. And it's a warm summer evening, and all I can hear is the sweet. It's a warm summer evening, and all I can hear is the sweet. I can hear the clover hum along, I can hear the rain clouds a-finding their feet. The clover hums along, these summer evenings are where we all used to meet. All of these warm summer evenings are where we once and again shall all meet.
Peter Mulvey, live from Studio A. That was the title track from his Knuckleball Suite album. Thanks for doing that one.
Thank you.
And that one is actually about the Cafe Carp.
The Cafe Carp.
Which is a place that you go back a long way with, right?
Yeah, I think I first started playing there when I was maybe 19 or 20 years old. So that was more than 20 years ago. And it's the perfect little music club. You know, it's in a little town, Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. It's on the river. They got a nice room out front, and they make burgers and beer and got a bar. And then they have a back room that is just for music. So you go through a little doorway, and then you're in a room that you can squeeze 75 people into if you have to. And I've been playing there forever. We do these end-of-the-year shows, holiday shows. And this past year we did 9 nights
Really?
Yeah.
And that's Redbird, right? Is that?
Well, Redbird does three of them.
Okay.
And then we do a sort of a Redbird situation, which is we just drag our friends from out on the circuit. So one night it was myself and Paul Sebar and John Seeger and Robin Plewer. Once it was Michael Smith, the guy that wrote The Dutchman, and Krista Dator. That was a great night. We get Randy Sabine, who's from up here near Bayfield, a great jazz fiddler. So it's sort of an open session or a little in-the-round song swap. It's a ton of fun, and it's also nice. I mean, I spend the year traveling, and it's really nice to just say, now it's the end of the year, and I'm home, but I'm still working. And, you know, you get to play to a packed house every night, but you don't have to get on an airplane. It's nice.
And you get to hang out with fun people
at the same time. So, yeah. And Bill, who runs the joint. Fun people and Bill.
Now, I mentioned Redbird, and that is the occasional project that you have with some of your friends.
Yeah. Chris Delmhorst and Jeff Folkholt and I, when we were really in the heyday of our running around, you know, before we settled down years, we did a couple of tours in England and sat around just swapping tunes. And the three of us are fairly encyclopedic in terms of all the tunes we know. So then we just sort of made a record of just, it's the three of us and our friend David Goodrich, who's a multi-instrumentalist. And we made a record, and then it's kind of taken on a life of its own. All we ever do is play those holiday gigs at the Cafe Carp, and they sell out. Well, in advance, we had people from Alaska and South Carolina come to Wisconsin to see that this past year. It's crazy. And then the only other thing that we'll do is sometimes we'll play in Massachusetts in the summertime. But that's the extent of the world tour.
Mm-hmm. And now is Massachusetts where you all kind of met each other because you spent a lot of time on the Boston music scene?
There? Yeah, that's where I cut my teeth in the early 90s. And then Chris, that's where I met Chris. And then Jeff moved out there. Because he and Chris got married, so it's a fairly special place.
Great.
Did I just say it's a fairly special place?
Mm-hmm. I heard
you. Wow, and I call myself a writer. Oh, Lord.
Now, you mentioned David Goodrich, and he's someone that you collaborate quite a bit with, right?
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And you guys actually have a guitar album out. That's pretty much your latest release.
Yes.
Is your guitar album with David. So tell me a little bit about David and your relationship and how this guitar album came about.
Well, he's been playing electric guitar and acoustic guitar on my records for 20 years, produced a lot of my records, a lot of the earlier records. He's a great producer. He produces Chris Smither and... he's in the Cold Satellite Band, which is one of Jeff Folkholt's projects. They're going to the Netherlands to tour very soon. So he's just sort of a guy about town. But we're also really good friends, and we've been playing informally. Like, as much as we've played professionally, we also have had this years-long dialogue of just sitting down to play. It's one of the ways we communicate, you know, being guys. Can't talk, so you'll play a standard. We've been threatening to make this record for some time, which is just to sit in a room with two acoustic guitars and play what comes to mind. And so we finally did. We had a collection of tunes. I had two or three instrumentals that I'd written. He had four or five instrumentals that he'd written. And then we know many old jazz standards. We did a couple of old folk tunes, like old traditional American stuff, Rally Round the Flag, the old Civil War tune. And we did a Tom Waits tune. A couple of Hoagie Carmichael tunes, and we put it out as a record. People seem to dig it. I mean, it's, you do so many things. Like, I mean, I have full-on band records. I have very loud rock records. I have very soft-spoken records. I have records of narrative. So it's nice to address this aspect of what I do. Once you've been at it for a while, if you're interested in keeping yourself entertained, you will have learned to play about 50 different kinds of thing. And so you never run out of material.
Well, I was interested in it because, you know, there are some singer-songwriters where it's mostly about the song and their voice. And, you know, the guitar is there, but it's maybe not a primary thing that they do. Where with you, it seems like it's equal to everything else that you do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you started playing pretty early, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I must have. So I started playing when I was 7 years old. So that's 35 years ago now. I mean, I don't remember not playing. That's about the best way to put it. I can't remember a time when that wasn't just a part of what I did. Wow.
And so you've been playing for a really long time, and that's pretty much, you started with that before you were doing the singing.
True.
Or anything. So this is really, you know, kind of the thing you've been doing the longest. So, you know, what's your kind of relationship to the guitar? And when you first started, who were the people that you were, because everybody starts trying to learn people's records and trying to, there's somebody that gets them started wanting to play guitar and they...
Well, for me, it was just a camp counselor. I just saw this dude playing guitar, and I thought, I will do this. You know, Mom, Dad, get me a guitar.
So you wanted to play Kumbaya right away.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I mean, I was young. I was into the Police, and so I kind of... There was a very hip guitar player in that band, Andy Summers. He's still a very hip guitar player. Sort of comes from a jazz background, and then was addressing himself to this new band that was, at the time, was great, that sort of fusion of ska and rock. But I didn't know any of that. Like, I didn't know squat about music. I just knew that it was cool, and I liked it. And then I got into Rush. Yes, from Canada. Alex Lifeson. But the real thing for me was... I was never going to be an electric guitar player, and I got into Leo Kottke and Michael Hedges, and I embarked on this epic failure to become either one of them, which is how you become yourself. You sort of shoot at a given target, but I'm not built as a guitar player like either of those guys. I'm not built as a composer like either of those guys, and your failure to become your heroes tends to turn you into who you are. So that was where my guitar beginning came from. And now, you know, it's funny, all that work laid the groundwork, and now what I am, I think, is a guy that interprets song. Like, I just love going after a song, and to me the guitar has really become the sort of the servant instrument, if that makes sense, or serves the servant function. So does the vocal. To me, a guy with a guitar, I think most people think of that as a discrete unit. I think of that as a duo ensemble, the guitar player and the singer, and they are taking turns presenting a tune. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, let's hear another tune. Now,
sure.
Now, are there any of those instrumentals that you want to share with us, or...?
Sure.
Or is it too hard with just you without David sitting by?
There's one that I can do. This is a tune. This is a tune that literally just beamed into my head, like it was coming from the radio or something. It's called Drumlin' Trail. And it's a melody. I mean, it's meant to be done, I think, on a fiddle. I kind of hear this as a fiddle tune, which is a little strange because I don't play the fiddle. But I do think they're all kind of out there in the ether. I mean, maybe we're fooling ourselves, but that certainly seems to be how the songs behave. And I feel like this one was on its way to some, you know, patiently waiting fiddler's house who was trying to compose something, and I just got in the way, like on an airplane or something, and then it... Anyway... Thank you.
That's Peter Mulvey doing his nice little fiddle tune there.
Yeah. Without the fiddle. I know, I have to hum. Like, I feel like there should be a fiddle there. On the record, I think I played banjo when we did the tune on the record. I mean, neither of us knows how to play the fiddle. You just make do with what you've got. I think I did some humming, too, just because I hear it as a fiddle tune, and that's as close as I'm going to get with, you know, the equipment I got.
And what was the name of that one again?
It's called Drumlin Trail.
Drumlin
is a geological formation, and the Drumlin Trail, the Glacial Drumlin Trail, is a bicycle trail in southern Wisconsin.
That you probably have traversed many a time.
Oh, yeah. It goes from more or less Milwaukee to Madison. So, mm-hmm. I mean, almost all the way from those two places. It's about 50, 60 miles long. It's mm-hmm. a wonderful piece of the earth.
Now, did you did your September bike tour?
Yep.
That you've been doing for the past few years again?
Yep. Fifth annual. The sixth annual will come up next year. It started just because I've been on the road for so long, and I've been on so many airplanes. I've been through customs in so many countries, and I've been, you know, so many rental cars. And I do love it. I mean, I still love it. But modern travel, as convenient as it is a little soulless. And so I got this idea in my head that I wanted to travel under my own steam. And so I did a little tour in Wisconsin, I think 5 years ago, the first one. And it was so much fun. I mean, you're back in the world, you know. If you scare up a deer or a heron, it's right there. And if it rains, you get wet. If it's hot, you're hot. If it's cold, you're cold. And I became reacquainted with travel. Like, travel became a whole new thing for me. Like, if you're hungry, you have to get some food because you need the calories going into your body to get you to the next place. This is going to sound really, I don't want to sound all, but it acquainted me with what our species is. I mean, we've been this way for 10 million years, and only recently, in the blink of an eye, have we done all this crazy sitting around being carted from place to place like an expensive panda. You know, I mean, before that, we just went where we went ourselves. So it's been a beautiful thing. I'm going to do it till they stop me. So,
well, I hope they don't stop you.
They won't.
So you do that every September with Brianna Lane,
yeah.
and friends. Are those long bike rides conducive to songwriting? I was thinking about that. You usually do it with a bunch of people, so maybe it's a little more social than I'm thinking. But I would think that your head would have space to have all these ideas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody, it is. We have a little tribe of us that go. It's just friends of ours we've collected through the years who are capable of riding 100 miles in a day. That's the big sticking point. You have to be able to ride 60, 70 miles a day for 10 days in a row to do these tours. But it is a very social thing, but everybody retreats into the little, you know, monastery of their own exhaustion at some point during the day. And you do. I mean, I had a friend on the tour, most recent tour, told me this incredible dream he had about bringing these iron balls, these big iron spheres that he had made with his hands in a forge. And, they were his own sorrow, and he was bringing them and setting them down in this clearing in the woods over and over in front of this statue of the Buddha. Like, that's
wow.
Gotta go somewhere. Right, you're kidding me. So I expect... I mean, to me, songwriting is a strange and mysterious process. I work at it, and I'm always at the receiving end where this stuff comes out. But I also think you can't quite get at what the swamp is, if that makes sense. But it has both inputs and outputs. And as a songwriter, you sit there at the output end just trying to sort of marshal the forces and turn them into art. But the input end is just your life.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that you experience, you know, from hunger to joy.
Now, you were mentioning earlier that you kind of see yourself as an interpreter of songs.
Yeah.
And before we started on the air, you were saying that you're going to do a covers album.
Yes.
Which will give you a perfect opportunity to be an interpreter of songs. So where is that project?
It's finished. It's recorded. It's
mm-hmm.
mixed. The art is done. The record is going to be called The Good Stuff. And I started out, I wanted to make I've been threatening to make a jazz standards record for a long time. But when it came time to make the record, I wanted to avoid metaphorically putting on a suit and and hiring a saxophone player and a piano player and doing them as though they were a museum piece. So I took some players that I know, but the band is very much sort of a folk rock swing ensemble, not your typical jazz ensemble. And then I also opened up the catalog of tunes. Like, there's a Duke Ellington tune, and there's a Thelonious Monk tune, and there's a tune by Bobby Charles, but there's also a Tom Waits tune. There's a Leonard Cohen tune, and there are songs by friends of mine, contemporaries of mine. There's a Bill Frisell tune. He's a modern jazz guitar player. Because, again, I didn't want this to be a stuffy proposition, and I also wanted to, you know, as emphatically as I could, make the point that all this stuff is still alive. Like, this stuff didn't die just because Duke Ellington died. To me, Tom Waits and Duke Ellington and Jolie Holland are all shooting at the same target. Does that make sense? So I suppose now I should interpret a song, shouldn't I?
That would be good.
That'd be the maneuver.
But first I want to ask you, why jazz? And at what point did that kind of music come into your life between The Police and the Leo Kottke? Where did that fit in, and where did that become something that...
Years and years ago, I was working at a guitar shop, and we got snowed in, and Goody taught me Moonglow, which is a tune by Irving Mills, you know. And it, just the progression, it had to be Moonglow, way up in the blue. It had to be Moonglow that led me straight to you. And he showed me that what really is at work there is just that all those chords have in common this thread that ties them together, this descending line. So it had to be Moonglow way up in the blue. It had to be Moonglow, you know, so just that line. And I thought, these people are onto something. That's it's sophisticated, of course. Like, I think when you're the guy that gets the guitar and learns some folk tunes, you think of jazz as being sophisticated. And that was my first moment of realizing, sure, it's sophisticated. It's also so simple. Like, it's so elegant and so simple. It's just subtle and simple. And I was hooked. So, you know, then I was learning tunes by Cole Porter and Irving Mills and Irving Berlin and Bobby Charles and on and on and on. And just came to love it. At the same time, I think there are people that might hesitate to call what I do jazz. I mean, because why? I don't know. I'm not as formally educated as most people who would claim to be a jazz musician, but about a third of what I do depends precisely on improvisation and finding an authentic voice and trying to swing. So I guess I could call myself jazz if I want to. A Wisconsin jazzman. Doesn't it sound weird?
It has a nice ring to it.
It does.
All right, jazzman. Well, let's hear what you got.
Well, here's a tune by Bobby Charles from Louisiana.
I don't know why I love you, but I do. I can't sleep nights because I feel so restless. And I don't know what to do, and I feel so helpless. Since you've gone away, will I cry both night and day? And I don't know why I love you, but I do. My days have been so lonesome, the nights have been so blue. And I don't know how I stand it, but I do. each night I sit alone and I tell myself I will fall in love with someone else. I know I'm wasting time, but I got to clear my mind. I don't know why I love you, but I do. All my days have been so lonesome, and my nights have been so blue, and I don't know how I stand this, but I do. Each night I sit alone and I tell myself I will fall in love with someone else. I know I'm wasting time, but I got to clear my mind. I don't know why I love you, but I do. I don't know why I love you, but I do.
That's Peter Mulvey live from Studio A, and I'm assuming that's one that's going to be on the covers album?
Yeah, we recorded a good 20 songs, and it's a 14-song record, and then there'll be a little 6-song EP. So
nice. And when can we expect that?
March 27th.
So very soon.
Quite soon, yeah. That'll be out, and I'm already working on the new one. It's, you know, I don't have the perspective anymore to even, to me, it's all just one thing. Like, I'm always on the road. I've been on the road all year, every year for 20 years. I'm always playing shows, so I'm always scaring up songs, either by writing them or finding them and learning them. And then I record them largely just sort of to put them there. You know what I mean? To go, all right, that's that. I kind of I have a handle on that now. Hey, you can buy my record. Great. You have a handle on it now too, but all of it serves the function of just doing what I've done since I was a kid, which is going to play shows. That's all I want to do.
Thanks so much for dropping by, Peter.
Thank you. Sweet.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Cameron Flackney, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with additional support provided by The Playlist, Thursday nights at 9 on PBS North on WDSE WRPT.